B-Pod Studios.
You know, I didn't want to bring this up so quickly, but there's an issue about a particular show that we have to take care of. You all recognize the theme music to Caring and Sharing. Our good friend and original host of this program, Dr. Dumb Ken, has been unable to fulfill his contractual obligation to this show. Again, he was supposed to come to work today, but isn't able to do so. On the phone with us is Dr. Dumb Ken. Doctor?
Yes.
Do you care to explain yourself? I believe last time you were on the air with us, Dr. Murray Kleiner, who's been kind enough to host the show in your absence.
Gracious man.
A very gracious man.
He is.
Has been hosting the show, and you get all bent out of shape. Saying you're going to be here go back to work.
Well, listen, it wasn't my fault. I mean, I was going to get this ride, to give me the
this is the whole
and,
point.
It didn't work out.
This is the whole point. What did we say to you?
I know,
on Monday?
But, hey, why don't you could have came pick me up there.
No, when we talked to you, Ken, you said there'll be no excuses. I'll be there.
Yeah.
I know, but, it's not in my control.
You're on the verge of losing your show. You know that.
It's only because of an accident that happened to me, so.
Dr. Dumb, hold on the line right now. I believe on line six is Dr. Murray Kleiner himself. Dr. Kleiner, thank you for coming on the show.
Well, sooner or later we can get to the bottom of this, it's going to be better for everyone concerned.
I agree. Now, Dr. Kleiner, I know that you told us on Monday that you didn't want us calling you back unless there was an offer on the table.
Well, what I told you is I agreed to do this for a finite period of time, which probably that's my fault for not defining the actual period of time. I was doing this to try to help a colleague who had been in an accident, but at this point, the imposition on my time and resources, it's not cost-effective for me.
Sure, I completely agree with you, and I believe our producer did call you up, Dr. Kleiner, to say that, in fact, your services were not needed because Dr. Dumkin said he was coming back to work.
And I was very, very pleased to hear that. It's good to hear that Ken is recovering and he's back in there to do his show.
But Dr. Kleiner, he's not. He's on the phone. He didn't show up
I'm
for work again.
Because I couldn't make it in. I mean, I don't have a car right now. What am I going to do,
Did you or did you not say, Ken?
I know what I said.
So you lied to us.
My resources, I couldn't, no one's, I was always there to help everybody.
Kenny.
And now I need, some favors and no one's coming through.
Kenny, you lied to us. That's number
I'm
one.
I'm not lying to you.
Dr. Kleiner, you hear Dr. Duncan projecting there.
I feel for Ken in this situation. But quite frankly, from you people, all I've heard is sob story after sob story. And at some point, I have to say that I'm being taken advantage of.
You are being taken advantage of.
You've talked about it many times, how the quality of this program has improved and how people are pleased with what they're hearing.
Yes.
That's fine. I'd be more than happy to continue, but I'm not going to continue without remuneration. I'm not going to continue to do it on a basis where it's someone else's show.
Yep.
Well, some people, sometimes you have to fill in until the other person gets better, and that's what's going on with me right now.
Right, but you know what, Ken?
I want to be at the station,
Ken,
believe me.
Kenny, what we're doing is Dr. Kleiner, a very busy man, and we've been giving him the runaround for about like 10 weeks now. He's been filling in for you,
right.
And we told him on Monday after he came on and once again filled in for you that, Doctor,
right.
Thank you so much. Your services are no longer needed. Dr. Dumkin will be coming back to work, and you lied.
Did I lie?
You lied.
I'm all ready to go. Listen,
and now you're talking about how you help everybody. Nobody's helping you. Dr. Kleiner, that's projection, isn't it?
I'm not going to get into projection and whatever else. I wish Ken the best of luck and his recovery and his career, but quite honestly, you've told me many times that this show was not a healthy show
to
begin
with.
It was not. And that my contributions have caused it to become a viable commodity.
Right. That's
so
why.
Therefore, mm-hmm. I simply
what
want.
What are you saying? It wasn't healthy when I was on?
Correct.
I simply want some review. Well, let's face facts, Ken. As much as I like you
on.
As a human being, to call yourself a doctor is a travesty.
Oh, give me a break.
That's right, because you are not a doctor.
Where'd you go to school at?
You play, doctor, tell them where you went to school.
I went to Cornell Medical School.
That's right.
What year did you graduate?
I graduated in the 1974 class.
Oh.
What about you, Dr. Dumbken? What tech school did you graduate from?
I'm not going to tell you.
No, well, sounds, because you're not a doctor.
It certainly doesn't sound like a DeVry, man.
Oh, son of a bitch. Now
hold
you're
going
to rank on me, huh?
Hold on.
I mean, you know what?
Kenny.
That ain't fair, man. I mean, you know what? You're at some point, it's already down.
Ken, at some
you know,
point.
I got 1 foot, man.
It sounds like you have taken advantage of the situation with the injury.
No advantage.
You seem like
I'm
a very.
That's totally untrue.
You sound very needy.
Yes. Dr. Kleiner, we went and held charities for him. Every time we ask him to do something now, it's my foot this, my foot that. He's acting very needy, and he's milking it for all it's worth.
Oh, give me a break.
Did anyone actually see this
Talk
accident?
Talk about milking. Oh, man.
Anyone actually see this accident?
No.
Did you see my foot stand?
I saw your foot.
Oh, and so what do you think?
That could have been a blister gone bad and gangrene set in.
Stan, let me ask you this, if you've seen the injury. Is there any chance it could have been self-inflicted?
Sure, certainly.
Oh, yeah, right.
Certainly. What do you make of that, doctor?
It just sounds like someone that's very needy for attention.
All right, you know what?
Oh, I need attention. This is what you're saying. I get this daggum thing on my foot, and you're saying I need attention for it?
You need attention.
I
feel like I'm isolated in my own little apartment
there
here
he
because
is.
I can't get out
Dr.
anymore.
Dr. Kleiner, whining again, isn't he?
I'm not whining. I'm bitching. That's what
whining.
I'm doing.
A lot of whining and bitching.
Whining,
I'm bitching
what's
because
the
I can't.
Difference?
Oh, let me tell you. This has changed
Kenny,
so much.
Kenny, stop right now.
What?
Stop right now because I have to take care of some business. Now, you can listen to this, and you can object to it if you want, but I've been told by management that I have to settle this today. Today, and I'm about ready to settle it right now. Dr. Kleiner.
Yes.
I have been told by the management here that I am willing to meet a certain price for you. You must, first of all, if you're willing to, become an employee of this radio station.
Well, that's not a problem.
I also have a blank check.
We're not going to negotiate. It's a flat fee.
What is your flat fee?
If you're going to keep the format of the program with the same amount of time involved, correct?
No, same amount of time. You will get you will get billing on the show. It'll be caring and sharing with Dr. Murray Kleiner.
I'd have to have $25,000 for that. That's it. Take it or leave it.
Take it or leave it? How about I sweeten it a little bit, doctor? How does $45,000 sound?
Sold.
$45,000 with bonus incentives.
What are you doing? You're squeezing me out?
Shut up, Kenny.
Huh? Is that what you're doing?
You're no longer a doctor once I get this thing taken care of.
So you're squeezing me out of everything,
doctor,
aren't you?
Dr. Kleiner, I guess.
So you put me. Oh, man.
And there's a bonus clause in there for, I believe, a $5,000 bonus.
I'm not concerned with it. It sounds more than fair.
And. Dr. Kleiner, I have also talked to various medical boards. They will review your case as well.
Oh, that's awfully nice of you.
They will review your case and hopefully get
I hope I didn't come across as an ass.
I have to
protect my interest, and I'm not going to be just some schmuck working for free.
Exactly. Dr. Kleiner, do we have a deal?
It's done. Fax it to me.
You got it.
Okay, thank you, Stan.
Kenny?
I appreciate it.
I'm sorry to say this.
That's okay.
But,
I see how you are now.
But because you are unable.
You're showing your true colors.
Because
now.
You are unable.
You are showing your true colors, son of a bitch.
Because.
After I helped you. Oh, man, I can't believe you're doing this to me.
Because.
I can't believe you're doing this to me.
Because. Dr.
I thought
Kleiner.
We were friends. You know, through thick and thin. Did you ever hear
right.
that?
Dr. Kleiner, will you help him through this moment?
Well, no. I want Ken to understand that although it is my show.
Oh. Yeah, oh, man.
It is Dr. Kleiner's show.
I would be happy to counsel him in
so,
no charge.
So be it, then. If that's how you want to be, you guys, go ahead, then. I guess this is it.
What are you talking about?
This is it. You know, you squeezed
you
me
just
out.
Heard,
well, I'm down and out. Huh?
You just heard what Dr. Kleiner said, though, Ken. He will be happy to counsel you on his show.
Oh, that's just beautiful. Wonderful.
However, I want to make sure I understand the situation.
The thing, I appreciate you just taking over just like you did, you know?
Right.
It's wonderful.
Well,
you know,
10 weeks.
Easy when you help people out, you help them out, but it sounds like you need to be compensated.
Let me ask you, Ben.
And that's another thing, Dr. Kleiner. You are now an employee of this radio station. Ken, remember, you have never been, nor will you ever will be, an employee of this radio station.
Don't hold your breath, son of a bitch. I can't believe you did this to me.
Dr. Kleiner, yes.
I can't believe it.
Yes, doctor?
I just want to let Ken know that, that I would counsel him for no charge.
On your
because
show.
He's got a lot of issues. Yeah, it is my show.
Well, now it is.
And let me ask you this. Is it problematic with his status of not being an employee of the radio station?
No, not a problem at all.
Well, then it sounds good. Then it's settled.
You never know.
Then it's settled. It's all good.
Yeah, well, I hope you feel good about it. I hope you stepped right over my back. You walked all over it.
I did not walk all over your back. You know, I did not go to medical school and to get all these degrees to be called Mr. Kleiner.
Did you feel good if someone walked all over your back?
Well, he covered for you for 10 weeks.
That's because I'm laid up. What do you want me to do?
Well, sooner or later, you got to say enough's enough.
I can't believe you even did this to me, Stan. Well, I can't believe you did this.
I gotta think of the show.
I thought you were a great person. I really
Kenny?
Do.
Ken, you're embarrassing yourself. You sound like a Nancy boy.
I'll kick your ass. Kenny, you know,
friendship is one thing, business is another.
Why aren't you with the radio station now, then?
Because Stan never offered you.
You know what? You're a wing flapper, a morale breaker.
Oh man. Wait till I see your ass. You come down to Florida.
I would be more than willing to come down and do a couple of shows live.
That would be wonderful.
I would love to be in the studio with you.
We will go pick up the tab for you, doctor. Hotel, plane fare, meals.
Is that anywhere near Sanibel?
Very close. We'll have you on Sanibel if you want.
I understand. That's very lovely. I'd like to stay on Sanibel.
You got it.
Well,
all right.
It'd be a pleasure.
All right, Dr. Kleiner, we'll talk to you next week, Dumb Ken, whatever.
Pleasure doing business
with you. Thank you. I appreciate
all
that.
All right. Bye, guys.
Yeah, all right.
Heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to turn your radio on. Now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney on all afternoon. Now from Naples to Fort Myers, all over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Port Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Radio that there's ever been. Show is so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. Go fill out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws spies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it all afternoon. We're like whiskey and liquor, hot paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon, that's where we belong. Stan and Haney.
this. You have to promise me that you can be showered and out of here by 6.
Stan and Haney. 96
K-Rock. Hey, everybody. Stan.
Yep.
And Haney.
That's us.
Friday edition of the Stan and Haney show. A lot of things going on today because we're going to be later on checking in with Mike Fungus, Matt Mangus. He's going to be down at South Street live broadcast. So we'll be checking in with him.
We love our friends at South Street.
Yes, we do.
A lot of things we can't talk about, but going to be a big year for us South Street.
Yeah, there's something big happening there. Also, we got the 4 o'clock safe word, could get you a thou. Broadway Joe today. He's going to tell you he's going to the Super Bowl. Was he right last week with his picks? I don't think so.
I think he was 3 out of 4.
I think you're right. Let me see if I still got it here.
Because nobody saw Baltimore getting crushed.
No.
Because it just doesn't make sense.
Let me see what happens. Let me look through this.
Baltimore was the most dominant team in football.
Yeah, they were. Hold on. Bear with me.
Speaking of which, it was nice to see the LSU Tigers at the White House.
Yes, they went to the White House. They are the national champions. I want to know when that tradition started, by the way, of championship teams. I think it might have started with Reagan because he was like the athlete, the Gipper. And so it might have started with him, with teams being invited to the White House.
It was very cool. And the president, he's been to multiple SEC games.
Yeah.
He's been to multiple LSU games this year, so he's kind of seen the story happen. And, of course, he was there at the national championship game. And so he's speaking to the team, and the president says, you know, I can't do this for everybody, but for you guys, I'm going to do it. And he turns over and goes to Coach Ed Obregon, says, anybody on this team that wants to get a photo in the Oval Office, I'm going to do it. The whole team, if they want, will do it one at a time. However, it's a special thing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, all your World Series teams go there, your NBA champs. But I think it was Reagan that started it. Because, do you remember? Because it was, I think it was Obama that invited the 72 Dolphins to the White House because they never got a reception after they won the Super Bowl, and that was when Nixon was in office.
He was a huge Dolphins fan.
Yeah, and they never got there, so it was like years later they got to go. I think it's Reagan. I think Reagan started it.
Well, I think it's especially in this day and age, you know, with all the enhanced security and all that. I think it's a good thing to bring citizens into the White House as a reward for achievement.
I agree. You used to be able to walk right back in the day, back in the 1800s.
Well, that's
used to be
when
able to walk right in.
That's when my main man, the president that I patterned myself after, Andrew Jackson, was in charge.
And, well,
they trashed the place.
Yeah, well, they left it wide open for parties. I want to say,
well, you know, that was, I think, the first open bar.
Yeah. Up until, I want to say, Garfield, because that's what he got assassinated for. You used to be able to walk up to the front door of the White House. Secretary would be there, and you'd say, I'd like to see the president, because in those days, jobs were, you applied for them, and if you did nice things.
Apply within.
Yeah, and you'd sit down with the president, you'd hand him your card,
mm-hmm.
and he'd take you under advisement. And the guy that assassinated Garfield, I think he shoot him away a couple of times. Get, Charlie, get. I don't have time. I don't. Job's been filled. I think that's...
Well, it's supposed to be the people's house.
Yeah. And then they used to have... You could walk up onto the lawn. They had to build the fence. Now someone just changed.
I don't know. It was just, a nice feel-good moment.
Yep.
Now, a lot of those players, they're going to go on to be, NFL superstars in their own right. But for some of them... This is the end of the road.
This is the biggest deal, time of their life.
And they will always have that picture of them in the Oval Office to show their kids.
Yep. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll do the audio grab bag.
Why were you bad-mouthing Joe, by the way? Broadway Joe.
What about him?
He got 3 out of 4. You said he failed.
He's supposed to be accurate on this stuff.
Well, 75% is pretty good.
Well, today he's going to tell us who's going to go to the Super Bowl. A couple of interesting facts. I want to say this. This is pretty cool about the NFL. If the Kansas City Chiefs make it to the Super Bowl.
Been a long time.
50 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was 50 years ago. That the Chiefs last won.
Well, it was
Super
shortly
Bowl.
After the moon landing.
Yeah. The NFL is celebrating 100 years. If the Chiefs make it to the Super Bowl and the Green Bay Packers make it to the Super Bowl, it'll be a repeat matchup of the very first Super Bowl in January of 67.
You mean before it was called the Super Bowl? No.
Officially called the Super Bowl. Everybody called it the Super Bowl. It just wasn't called the Super Bowl.
But then it was retroactively made a Super Bowl.
If you watch, and I do this, Jack Whitaker of CBS talking about where the Chiefs and the Packers were staying for the game and talking about the lead up to the game, they were all calling it the Super Bowl. The AFL-NFL Championship. The Super Bowl, but it was
but
not
it was
in the
considered
name.
Like a slang term.
Correct. Became the official name at Super Bowl III. They called it the Super Bowl for 1 and 2, but it wasn't in the official name. There's even pictures. AFL NFL Championship when like the Raiders and the Packers were going at it, and there's a little banner that says Super Bowl on it, but it didn't mean anything. It wasn't in the name.
Yeah, so the first two were made Super Bowls after.
Yeah.
And it was Super Bowl III that was the first one that was marketed as the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And of course we know where that came from.
Lamar Hunt.
Well, was it his daughter or granddaughter?
Yeah, with the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yep. We'll be back. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock. Friday edition of the Stan and Haney Show. As you know, tomorrow at Centennial Park, downtown Fort Myers, it'll be Bacon Jam. K-Rock will be there along with 20 restaurants and food trucks. Cooking up creative bacon-based dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Going to have live rock with Devin the Dynamics, Red Hanna, and America's number one Van Halen tribute, Completely Unchained. Tickets are still available.
That is so much fun. Those guys just know how to have fun.
And it's a fun day down at Centennial Park, downtown Fort Myers. Let's take a look at the grab bag brought to you by... The Pewter Mug North, US 41, North Naples. We've got a new sponsor here. We want to play their commercial for you. This segment's brought to you by Lonely Caveman Beer. Where are you? Well,
Boy, there's so many beers now. Used to be there was only a couple of beers. Now there's all kinds of beers.
Oh, yeah, with Pabst coming out with a new one. There you go. Here's the new beer.
It's almost time for his football game. He likes his things all the same. He watches his team from his favorite chair. Prefers it when no one else is there. Lonely man cave beer. For the guy who drinks alone. Lonely man cave beer. This is his house, his home. He's got his cool sports signs and flags and a sports blanket hanging over his chair. So keep your stupid sports opinions to yourself, 'cause he don't care.
Lonely Man Cave Beer, 'cause when there's only one beer left in the six-pack, he knows who's gonna drink it.
Yeah.
Drink alone responsibly.
Boy, that's powerful imaging.
Yeah. We're going to play a little game in about an hour about this very subject. But this is an interesting clip. Today is the 100th anniversary of Prohibition.
Prohibition being...
The booze.
Of it being enacted or being
enacted.
Removed.
It lasted for 13 years from January 1920 until December 1933.
Now, that's odd. So, we had Prohibition during the Roaring Twenties.
Yes.
And when the Depression hit, they said, go ahead and drink.
Yes.
That doesn't seem wise.
Well, so many people were against it, and so many people were dying from, you know, bathtub gin. But here's the interesting thing about Prohibition, which started 100 years ago today and lasted 13 years in this country. The Ken Burns documentary on Prohibition explained what life was like before it went into effect, when booze was free-flowing pre-1920. Listen to this. Literally, everybody in the United States was a drunkard. When you find out how much alcohol was consumed by people before it went into effect, it dwarfs today. Take a listen to the Ken Burns documentary.
By 1830, the average American over 15 years of age drank the equivalent of 88 bottles of whiskey every year, three times as much as their 21st century descendants drink. Americans spent more money on alcohol each year than the total expenditures of the federal government. Inebriates filled the nation's poorhouses and workhouses and prisons. More and more, people began to worry that the country was becoming a nation of drunkards.
Yeah, it was a true epidemic. I mean, you figured, what else did you have to do? You're done with your 16-hour workday, and you went home and you drank. And that was, if you noticed, the age from 15, 15 and up.
Mm-hmm. Well, it all comes down to where society is at.
Mm-hmm.
And it was evidently, you know, a socially acceptable thing. Even during our lifetimes, what is expected of an adult and consuming alcohol has changed completely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we were kids, car must have drove itself home last night.
Yeah.
Well, another three martini lunch.
Yeah. One more for the road.
Yeah. All changed.
We had, I believe it was a PBS documentary as well. That's about alcohol and how it was say, in the 19th century and leading up to Prohibition. Do you remember the guy, and I cannot remember his name, a pretty famous writer, did a whole thing on the history of tobacco in the United States. And we were a absolute cesspool of used tobacco in this country. People would visit from England. Oscar Wilde, that's the he came, because he was a celebrity then, came over and wrote, when he returned to Great Britain, how he was appalled by the filth of cigar butts that were everywhere. He, the author that we had on about it, about tobacco, cigarettes were unheard of early on. People chewed tobacco. There were spittoons everywhere. Every business you went into, every street corner, there were spittoons because of chewing tobacco. That evolved to a more, what they believed, a more cleanly choice of smoking rolled cigars. Again, cigarettes weren't around. And...
well, and pipes were popular.
Pipes were popular, too. But Oscar Wilde talked about seeing the cigar butts everywhere and the spittoons everywhere. And how we in America accepted it, where even other countries looked at it and said, "Slob, look at you, it's just a mess." Cigarettes started because of the impoverished and homeless people that would see the put-out cigars on the streets, and they would take the cigar butts, break them apart, get the little bit of dried tobacco in there, put it in some rolling paper, and smoke it because it was so cheap. And, well, somebody thought that they could make a profit on it, and pretty soon cigars, as the majority of smokers, went to cigarettes. But it was the same thing. If you went back into the 1800s, everybody was smoking, spitting, and throwing it on the street and drinking like fiends.
It's just crazy the way that that society is, where for decades, this is the way things are. And then you wake up one day and everything's turned on its head.
Yeah, it happens.
And
it's just... it, even,
and I'm not trying to criticize anyone or say anything about it. It's just a demarcation line.
Yeah.
When we were on the air, and it happened so quickly... and you go, "Well, gay marriage is legal." I go, "Well, yeah, what is it, Massachusetts and Hawaii?" And you go, "No, right now at the Lee County Courthouse."
Yeah.
I'm like, "What the hell happened?"
Changed quick. It's everything like that.
And again, I'm not trying to even talk about that specific issue. It's just a great example of it, because up until then, all the politicians, Hillary and Obama included, would go out on their stump speech and say, "While I'm compassionate about civil unions, marriage is between a man and a woman. We're going to pass the Defense of Marriage Act." And then all of a sudden, everything's changed.
It comes in waves, because if we were living in the 1960s, and we went back to the way people lived and treated each other back in 1870, we'd go, "What the? How do you treat people like this? Take the six-year-old and put him in a sweatshop."
Mm-hmm.
You know, no problem taking a switch to a female. Well, a certain circumference was legal. And we'd go back, if you take where we thought, oh, it was just grand, the 60s and 70s where we thought everyone was, and you take that person and you throw him to 1870, his head's spinning.
No, I'm not trying to say good, bad, or indifferent. I'm just saying that what everybody is supposed to agree on can change overnight.
In an instant, absolutely. Oh, did you hear about this? A family dog gave birth to a green puppy.
Oh, no.
Now you're going to go, oh, it's all a little great. There is a litter of eight.
It's not easy being green. I know that.
And all the rest are either black or white like its mother. Here's the report. I'll tell you what the real reason is.
I started freaking out because it was green.
The sack that they're in when they're in their mom, there can be meconium in there.
Right there.
That tends to stain them.
I knew it wasn't, like, harmful, but I still had to look it up again to make sure. I guess after a couple washes, it'll finally, like, fade out.
So what do you name a green pup with an aggressive appetite?
Hulk. He was lime green, and he was super mad. So, yeah, he became Hulk.
Essentially, what happened is the
meconium.
Yes, which is waste. And it got into the sack where the puppy was, and it dyed his white fur. They say now it's coming out. He's yellow.
So that means that's a filthy dog.
Yeah, it was in. It was swimming around in that fluid waste so much that it dyed its white fur. And it'll fade out in a few months.
That's gross.
That's gross.
Oh, but it's a shepherd. I wonder if they'd cut a deal on that puppy because it's all mess.
It's going to be fine.
Yeah, well, I know, but is there a bargain to be had there where they'd have to let the green one go for less than a normal one?
That's not a shepherd.
It says it's a...
No, it's a white. It was a white dog.
It says German Shepherd gives birth to green
Hulk. I don't know if that's a German
Hulk.
Shepherd. Look at the mother. That's not a German Shepherd.
It said German Shepherd. That's the headline.
I never saw a German Shepherd look like its mama. Is there... Hulk? Maybe I'm wrong. Is there such a thing as a white German Shepherd? There's the mother. That's not a German Shepherd.
Fake news, then.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's the other thing. When we're reading this stuff, we don't know who's writing it.
No.
And sometimes when they show the pictures and you've read this article and you're like, who the hell wrote this?
Yeah.
Can be like a kid fresh out of school that
sure can be.
Doesn't know what the hell they're talking about.
That's right. Ben and Jerry's has a new ice cream flavor. They teamed up with Netflix for a new flavor called Netflix and Chill. It's a peanut butter and a caramel nut.
Get ready for a brand new addition to the Netflix originals you know and love. Ice cream. Introducing Ben and Jerry's Netflix and Chilled, the first Netflix original flavor from Ben and Jerry's. The perfect pint to go with all your favorites. You'll never want to watch Netflix without it.
Hmm.
Huh. We had them on.
You know what Haagen-Dazs is up to now?
What?
They always are... innovating and putting out weird stuff to see what sticks. Their latest thing? Booze.
What do you mean? Booze-flavored ice cream?
Yeah, it's...
I think we might have talked about that because I remember then we talked about how you could go to the ballpark and get those beer shakes.
Well, I had one last night, and I guess there is a little bit of alcohol in it, not enough to affect you. But the one that I had was rum tres leches.
Oh, that sounds good.
It was pretty good.
Yeah. And you could taste the rum in it?
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Well, I don't know how much of it was actual rum, but it gave you the impression
the
there was rum in it. Yeah. Yeah, that's it right there, Stan.
Yep. I might want to try a little of that. If you go to the movies this weekend, you're going to see the new Robert Downey Jr. film called Doolittle. A lot of you'll be going there thinking, oh.
Dr. Doolittle?
It's called Doolittle.
Talk to the Animals?
Yeah. Where he's starring in the movie.
Didn't he already do that?
No. It's Doolittle. New movie, Doolittle.
Well, why is it that...
I'll tell you why. Because you can go back just a few years, and Eddie Murphy did Dr. Doolittle. And then after that, he did Dr. Doolittle 2.
Okay.
And people all forgot about it. And, oh, new movie. Well, you got to go back even farther than that to 1967.
If I could talk to the animals.
The great Rex Harrison was the original Dr. Doolittle.
If I could walk with the animals, talk with the animals, grunt and squeak and squawk with the animals, and they could talk to me. Just stop to think a bit. There's no doubt of it. I shall win a place in history. I can walk with the animals, talk with the animals, grunt and squeak and squawk with the animals. And they can squeak and squawk and speak and talk to me.
Yeah, that's when we first became introduced to the push me pull yous.
Pardon?
Push me pull yous.
What's that?
Two animals, so I think they were giraffes, stuck together. They each had the front half. And they were a push-me-pull-you in Dr. Doolittle.
I must have.
Rob Shoma, push-me-pull-you from Dr. Doolittle.
Must have blocked that out.
Yeah, and that was one of the oddities of Dr. Doolittle. He could talk to the push-me-pull-you. There they are.
Push me, pull you. All right. Well, that would come in handy, you know, if you were like in the jungle or the rainforest and you got lost. That would be a good skill to be able to talk to animals.
Yep.
But we think it would be, but would we really want to hear what they have to say?
No. A lot of it's about food, sleep, and sex.
Yep. Hot, cold.
Yep.
Thirsty, hungry.
Green Day has...
Mating.
Yep. Green Day has released a new song. And they realize... Because they sampled in their new song. And they realize a lot of people... A segment of the population isn't going to be happy with it. They understand how uncool it might be for some. They are releasing a new song called Oh Yeah, and it samples Joan Jett's version of the Gary Glitter song.
Okay.
Do you want to touch me?
Well, there you go. You're already into controversy.
Yep. They understand how uncool it is that some people find, you know, because Gary, of course, was a sick man. Convicted of child sexual abuse, rape, child porn. So they said, yeah, we're releasing this song, but we're donating the royalties from the song to an international human rights organization.
That doesn't matter. Gary Glitter still gets his beak wet, doesn't he?
I don't know, because they're sampling Joan Jett's version of it, but I don't know. But they're giving their proceeds to charity. Here's the new Green Day song, a little piece of it. So, yeah, they're donating.
What's wrong with that?
They're donating the proceeds to IJM, which is an international human rights organization, and to RAIN, which is Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Networks. So they're not making any money off of it, and they're helping a charity.
It just seems unnecessary.
That's what they did. This is cool. Wrap up the grab bag with it. Before Linkin Park, the late Chester Bennington had a band.
And you know what? He was a prince of a man to us.
Yep. The band was called Gray Days. And they are releasing an album of songs they did back in the day. They just dropped the first track. It's called What's in the Eye? And it's early Chester Bennington. And it's good.
Watching the time pass me by. There's so much locked up inside. Don't go to bed, my friend. Or you'll lose control.
He was a good guy. Like you said, he was very nice to us. Very talented. Grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. When we come back from the local beat, Haney and I did a little research on that woman that was feeding vultures. And
oh, yeah. We never did get to all of that.
Feel free to comment as I read the story as the fines have been slapped on her. And let me put it to you this way.
It made that neighborhood hell.
She ain't going to be able to pay what they've done to her. The Homeowners Association is very grateful to the judge. But she, you want to talk about a piece of work. We'll have that for you. And then a little bit later on, we're going to play Know Your State Alcohol Rules.
That sounds like fun.
So it's your Prohibition anniversary, 100 years. There are still, in some states, wacky laws on the books. I will tell you the law, and I don't care if you have to look it up. You know it off the top of your head.
Well, that's always fun when a young person learns that there's still such a thing as dry counties.
Yes. There are bizarre laws. I'll give you the law. You may know it. You may have to look it up. First person to correctly tell me the state that has that law, we'll win you a prize. We'll go over to that, and we'll do that a little bit later. Local Beats next. And your phone calls, 277-9600. We're Stan and Haney.
It's nice to be important, but it's more important to remain employed on partially reduced wages and benefits. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Telephone number into the studio if you want to talk to us, 277-9600. If you're outside of our immediate listening area, it's a 239 area code. And if you're calling from us, Aaron Walker will go and give you the MSRP that you paid for that car towards a new Nissan.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just upped it up a little bit. He just upped it up.
What? How can he keep topping himself?
This is even better. You get that new Nissan after trading in your vehicle, get the MSRP on it.
Yeah.
And then let's say a few years from now, 2, 3, 4 years from now, you have less than 60,000 miles on that car.
You're talking about your new car.
Yeah. They'll pay you the full base MSRP for that car as well.
Hold on, Stan. I don't know if I've got the math on this right, but based on what you just said, that would be like they're giving you a new car for free.
Yeah. Why on earth would you go anywhere else but Naples Nissan?
So you stand by that?
Yeah. Well, Aaron does, and I believe him.
So they're actually doing that.
Choose from over 500 Nissan models and get full offer details at NaplesNissan.com. Offers on select models with approved credit and cannot be combined. Restrictions apply. But you go, your car's got, no matter what model it is, it's less than 5 years old, got 60,000 miles or less. You're going to get the MSRP for what you paid for that car. Then you drive away in that new Nissan, and 2, 3, 4 years down the road, you want to trade that one in, he'll give you the MSRP on it.
Oh, I worry about Aaron. Does he think these things through?
It's amazing. Check it out, NaplesNissan.com. That's, you know, I read those
things. He's a nice guy.
And I'm saying, my goodness.
And you go down to Naples Nissan, do not be afraid to drop our name.
Oh, that doesn't hurt.
And say, I am a Stan and Haney listener.
Yep.
And I expect to be treated as such.
And you will be treated
as
such.
You just sit there and wait. Somebody will make a call.
Yep. 277-9600. 239-277-9600 if you're out of the area. Somebody texted us and said, and multiple people did, and said, yes, there are such a thing as white German shepherds. They've owned them. They know people who have them. They've sent pictures. It's a white German shepherd.
Are German shepherds on that bad list with the insurance companies?
I don't think so. Rotties are. Pit bulls are.
Rhodesian Ridgeback?
Yeah, that might be. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Fred.
Hi, Fred. Hey, hi, Fred. How are you, buddy?
Buddy, I'm great. Hot damn, I'm on the radio.
Hot damn, you sure are.
Anyway, I've been listening to your last couple of days of story about Cape Coral and whatnot.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, the garden spot of the world, yeah.
Oh, and last spring, I believe you did a bit on the Lehigh Acres.
We've been talking about
Well, I know
Acres
some people
years.
Like to call Cape Coral Lehigh by the Sea,
yeah.
But...
So anyway, funny story. Back in 78, I believe it was. Uh-huh. I'm from Lower Michigan originally. So my parents, they get hassled by some developer from Northern Michigan, brand new, up and kind of like Cape Coral, up and coming community. Uh-huh. It's gonna be beautiful, and the lakes, there's seven lakes, and on, and it's gonna be the most beautiful thing you ever seen. And they kept talking, you know, you got to buy this, you got to buy it. Listen, it's not worthless swampland. It's not swampland in Florida. It is not worthless swampland. So they bought it.
Mm.
$15,000 for one lot.
Ooh.
An acre. An acre.
All right, an acre, 15 right. grand, okay.
All right. Well, back in 78.
Oh, that was pricey back then.
Well, oh, yeah, in 78, I'm thinking Cape Coral, they could have bought probably a whole block.
Oh, yeah. Pretty close to it. Pretty close.
All right.
All right, buddy. Thank you. When I was a kid, 277-9600, when I was a kid, I used to like when I had study hall, you could either go into one of the classrooms and study, or they'd let you go to the library and hang out for study hall. And I used to go, and they had a magazine section in our library, because schools, you know, goes back generations. And I used to pull magazines, you know, Field and Stream and all that, from like 1951, 1955. And you'd go in the back of the magazine and see the ads. And I remember one of the ads was for you to buy property in Arizona. And a desert. But they said, you buy property and build your own home, and it was for like $500. Have your own property, have your own home. They might have been just outside of Phoenix, which I think is Glendale now. $500 set. Buy one, buy three lots. Ahoy, who's this?
Good afternoon. This is Ray at the airport.
Hey, Ray at the airport.
How are things going at the airport?
Hot damn, I'm here.
Hot damn. Right.
Well, I wanted to say there is such a thing as a white German Shepherd.
I had one.
Very beautiful creature, and they're very smart, highly trainable, and probably one of the better dogs I've ever owned until a gun was pointed at us, and he became so overprotective that I just couldn't do anything with him. But yes, they are on that aggressive dog breed
list. So they are on the list.
Yes, sir.
See, they shouldn't be.
No, sir, they should not.
Here's what I always heard, and because we had a Doberman Pinscher when I was a kid, and I heard about the Pinschers and the German Shepherds. They are extremely smart dogs, but they hit a certain age. I remember breeders telling my old man that they will turn on you because they are that smart. And they're very well and easily trainable. But you got to be careful because some of them are too smart for their own good and aren't going to put up with the crap.
This one I had was. He was smarter than me, I think.
Yeah. I appreciate the call, buddy.
Nah, there's
277-9600.
I think there's a big distinction between Pinschers and Shepherds.
Over in Germany, they used them both because they were both very smart breeds. Well, you know, that's what they are easily trainable.
Well, like the guy was saying, I think your Doberman, they'll turn on you. The problem with the Shepherd is what this guy was saying is they get so protective.
Right. Then something happens. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy!
Yeah,
but I mean, isn't
hot damn?
But I mean, isn't that what you want from a dog?
Yes.
Just wanted to say, love listening to you guys' show, and I wanted to answer the question of the week that you guys asked yesterday.
Oh, longest distance you've traveled with yourself behind the wheel without stopping?
Yeah, it was from El Paso, Texas, to Fort Myers.
How many miles is that?
It's a lot.
I would still say in the three digits. That might be 800 miles.
I don't know. El Paso's way west.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, it's all the way in the very tip. It was when I was in AIT. I drove from Fort Bliss.
All right. That's a drive. Hold on. I'm going to get you the mileage right now. Rob, how far is it?
1,843 miles.
1,800?
Yeah, it's way west.
You're right, buddy. That's a long drive.
Yeah, it took like 2 days. I was wired by the time I got there.
I bet you were.
I had like a big pack of like monsters in my truck, and I think I drank like I didn't drink anything but water for a while after that because I was like so I didn't want anything.
See, I would have to stop for an extended stop in New Orleans. I couldn't help myself.
My buddy Jeff texted me because he heard it going on. I think he has the record. He was in the Air Force at the time, and he texted me because I didn't believe him. And then I went and did the miles on it, and it's pretty amazing. Hold on. He went nonstop because he was transferred, had to go to another base. Drove from Charlottesville, Virginia, to Albuquerque, New Mexico, straight through, no stopping. He did it when he was 20. Can't do it now. The miles, well, right up there with what that guy. 1,797 miles straight through.
Yeah,
that's a drive.
Well, you got to remember, I knew as soon as he started saying it, and you were thinking, well, Texas, and I said, you got to remember.
Texas is a big state.
And El Paso is west. It's west Texas.
Yeah. West and to the right. Out in the west Texas town of El Paso. The great Marty Robbins. Race car driver, NASCAR guy. And one hell of a singer.
Nighttime would find me in Rose's Cantina. Music would play and Felino would whirl.
Ahoy, who's this?
Hot damn!
Hot damn!
Hey, it's catching on down here on Marco, too.
Oh, yeah. 2020, man. Yeah. It's in full swing.
Hot damn.
It's going good. Hey, I just about prices. When I first got down to Marco in the 70s, if you worked for Deltona, you could buy an inland lot for $500 and a water canal lot for $1,500 with no money down, and they would take a certain amount out of your pay.
Yeah. Can you imagine them. if you thought about it back then?
Yeah, but we were too busy drinking at the Islander.
277-9600. This one's next. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is JD.
Hey, JD.
I was wondering, how do you find those ads you play about Cape Coral?
They're available. They're out
there. I've tried YouTube, and I haven't had any luck, but Haney's right.
What?
I-10 from border to border in Texas is 880 miles. I used to drive it every week when I drove over the road.
I just know, talking to anybody, because I used to do the north-south East Coast 95 corridor, but everybody that has told me that has moved out west, that the drive isn't as bad as you think until you hit Texas.
And it was 55 mile an hour at night for semis. So that made it even worse.
And it feels like you never leave.
Strictly enforced, I take it.
Oh, every small town had a small sheriff. And if you got a ticket, you could call the judge, and she would put you on what she called probation, and you'd pay an administrative fee made out to her, and the ticket would disappear in 3 months.
Amazing, wasn't it?
Well, that's convenient.
277-9600.
Are we going to talk about the lady that likes to feed the animals?
We got
to
do it next break. Let me take one more call. We'll continue to take your calls next break as well, but we got to talk about the lady that feeds the animals.
Crazy broad. Destroyed the neighborhood.
Yeah. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy.
Hello, ahoy there.
Hey.
Hey, I get to the same trip as you, Stan, but I did it on a motorcycle from Indianapolis.
Oh, man, that had to...
A little saddle sore after that.
Saddle sore and that and keeping that throttle going. That head had to be hurting.
I left 4:30 in the morning and got in at 1 o'clock the next morning.
That's on a bike.
Thank you, no.
We're going to take a break.
You know, driving, you got to pay attention to the road. But being on a motorcycle and that level of concentration constantly.
No, thank you. We'll talk about the lady that fed the animals. I got that. We'll do the local beat. Also,
wackadoo.
If we have time, I'll throw out a few alcohol laws from various states. Have you find them, and if you call back with the correct answer, I'll give you a prize. We're Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
We live our lives according to the biblical principle that it is far better to give than receive. And the management here at Beasley is just fine with that arrangement. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us Friday afternoon. We'll get to your phone calls here. I know some of you on hold. We'll also do the Stan's local beat, update you on this lady on the other coast that was feeding all kinds of creatures. Also, you're about 19 minutes away from the 4 o'clock safe word. Could get you a thou, so be listening for that. Also, at 4 o'clock, we'll be checking in with Matt Mangus down at South Street. Before we tell you about the lady, we'll take a few people have been on hold for the break, so we'll get them taken care of, and then we'll go on to that local beat. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, my name is Emma.
Emma, hot damn. what can we do for you?
I wanted to call. I tried to call in yesterday, but I had to go into work, so I didn't get to answer your farthest you've driven without stopping.
All right, so you're just what 17? So you've only been driving for about a year, right?
No, sir.
Learner's permit.
You still have a learner's permit?
No, not quite. It's been several years since I've had a learner's permit.
All right, what's the farthest?
The farthest I've ever driven was when I moved down to Florida. I lived right outside of Tulsa, and it was 1,440 some odd miles with both of my kids, my son being a newborn at that time.
Oh, hold on. So that was the three of you in the car?
Yeah.
You poor baby.
It was a fun time. It was,
juggling a newborn driving from Tulsa to Florida. Oh, Lordy.
It was a great experience.
Oh, I bet it was a great experience. It's something you'll never forget.
No, absolutely not, and I will also never do it again.
Yes.
Appreciate the call, dear. Stay in touch.
Thank you, guys.
All right, see ya. Jeez, a newborn.
No.
Another baby by yourself on Tulsa time going down to Florida.
I told you before about the one trip that we made when I was probably about 10, and my little brother was almost a toddler, like around in there. And we were driving through the Allegheny Mountains, and something went wrong with his ear.
Yes, I remember you telling me that story and the screaming.
He screamed at the top
of his... And you're behind the wheel.
Oh, no, I was 10.
Oh, yeah, you weren't driving yet.
This was in the family truckster.
Right.
And so there's me, my mom, my sister, and my brother. And so you've got four people who are trying to maintain sanity as he screams red-faced at the top of his lungs. And it's like we were in the middle of the Allegheny Mountains. There were no, you know, quick stop medical places.
No, they weren't invented.
No, they didn't exist then.
What was it, an earwig?
I don't know. It must have been the elevation, something to do with
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
And all he knew to do was to scream. And it's like,
well, you see,
almost like running a marathon or something, where you're sitting there, the kid's screaming, and it goes on for 20 minutes. And you think, he's got to tire out at some point.
No.
And then you get to 30 minutes.
You're seeing white.
Yeah. And you're thinking, okay, this isn't forever. It's going to stop at some point. 45 minutes. And you're honestly, well, I guess I can take it. It's been 45 minutes, and I don't have a choice. You know, my mom is crying at this point.
Her baby boy's in pain.
No, she was crying because of the screaming.
Oh, well. Ahoy.
Ahoy. Hot damn.
Hot damn.
How you doing, Stan Haney?
How are you, buddy?
I just wanted to answer the question of the week.
Go ahead. How far?
Well, in a trip of probably about 7 to 9 days, I went from here to Washington State, Portland, Oregon, and back.
But you didn't drive straight.
No, but on my way back, I went from Salt Lake City to Houston in one trip.
How far is that?
That's roughly 1,400 miles.
Let me do this. If we got more time, I'll grab some phone calls. But I got to do the local beat because we brought this up. Haney brought it up. It was such a bizarre story. And I said,
I cannot imagine what her neighbors went through.
This is...
What a selfish woman.
I think, as this story will say, she has a bit of a condition. There's like something that she... a compulsive behavior to
loose
want.
Wire?
Yeah. Dateline West Palm Beach, the headline reading... Florida woman feeds wildlife behind her home. Judge orders her... They'll never see the money. Judge orders her to pay $53,000.
Well, she lives in a $1.2 million house, so somebody's got money.
I guess one of the little subdivisions there is a place called Ibis.
Yeah, and I guess they've got a golf course, but her place abuts the nature preserve.
Dateline.
You know, when they do these developments, they have to say, okay, well, this many acres will be a nature preserve.
Dateline West Palm Beach, an Ibis woman who fed vultures, alligators, and other wildlife.
Raccoons, bobcats.
I'll get to it. behind her her house agreed on Wednesday to pay $53,000 to settle a suit brought by the community's Property Owners Association. In the settlement, Judge Scott Kerner permanently enjoined Irma Acosta Araya from further feedings and ordered her to pay $53,000 for attorney's fees, costs, and fines by Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Payment will come as a relief to residents of the gated golf community, which borders the Grassy Waters Preserve, a wildlife-filled Everglades remnant on the western side of West Palm Beach. The association alleged that Acosta Araya went out at night and the day feeding flocks of defecating, vomiting vultures, as well as raccoons, alligators, and a bobcat, and had been doing it since 2016. They even had investigators take pictures of her out back of her house with an alligator up on the bank and her walking around.
Mm-hmm.
The judge said, can't use that against her because there is no actual footage of her feeding the animals. But she admitted to it and they had the pictures.
They said this was not a once in a while thing.
No, all the time.
And she would do things, and occasionally the neighbors would see her, you know, either on her way to do it, but they'd see her doing things like, say, we're going to have a staff meeting or something, and, you know, for that, you'd want to get the office staff pizzas. Maybe you'll get them some of those, you know, like ringed sandwiches for 50 people.
Yeah, she'd go out and feed them with that.
She would go to the store and buy, like, catered stuff and put it out back. And then, as this was getting more and more to a head, a neighbor saw her coming home and unloading her vehicle, and she sees this lady with 50 pounds of dog food. And the neighbor says, I didn't know you had a dog. Oh, I picked this up for my nephew's dog. And she would take that out there. I mean, she was feeding anything.
Anything that, and everything.
And what this did, and I don't mean to step on your toes, are you about to go into what the vultures eventually did?
No, I don't have what did the vultures, well, they lose their fear.
They totally lost their fear. And, you know, I think after Irma, we all know what a pain in the ass it is to have to get your pool recaged.
They cut it all up, didn't they?
The vultures, because she set food outside, and then she liked to put food on the inside of her caged pool, the vultures began to associate people's pools with food and water.
So they're going around cutting them all down.
The vultures destroyed the screens in the neighborhood. And one poor neighbor, they broke through and destroyed the screens, and the whole flock of vultures went into this one person's pool area.
Yep, they filmed it.
And these vultures, however this place was set up, the vultures could not figure out how to get out of there.
Yeah, they're dumb.
And they're all now stuck on somebody's pool
deck. And
they're
protected.
And the vultures, like you said, they're dumb. They don't understand what's happening. They just know that they want to get out and they can't. And so they decide it must be this guy's fault. And the vultures start fighting each other to the death on this person's pool deck.
And this is a nice piece of property.
Oh, yeah. The lady's house was 1.2 mil. But what happened with these vultures is they were bleeding, vomiting, defecating, fighting each other. And the woman who lived there, I guess, went to testify and said, by the time I finally got them out of there, my whole house smelled like a corpse.
It's horrific because all the dead, dying flesh on them. Gordon Holness, who is the association president, said, if that was the end of it, and you could guarantee that she won't feed those creatures again, we'd be very happy. He said this after the hearing. This lady is with a compulsion. Hopefully she understands the extreme penalty she'd be under if she ever decides to feed these animals again. You know, you get kind of cynical after a while.
Mm-hmm.
Acosta Araya did not attend the hearing, but her son and husband did. Her attorney told the judge she agreed never again to feed the wildlife at or near Ibis. She had not, according to her family, she had not done so for a while now, so she's learning.
Well, that's fine that she's learning, but it takes those animals a while to unlearn free meals.
Yep. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Billy. Ahoy, Jim.
Ahoy,
how you doing?
Hot damn.
Yeah, I drove from Sacramento to Naples to 49 and a half hours, 2,457 miles.
Straight.
Good Lord.
Well, yeah, straight other than gas and food.
Oh, yeah, I accept that. You got to go and, go to a choke and puke, and you got to go and, get some.
How many mountain chains did you cross?
Well, I cut down to 10. 10 is the quickest way. If you go through El Paso, it's about 1,500 plus miles through El Paso on the west side of Texas. But then once you go over, you just go through, basically, you slide up through the Sierras, depending on where you're going in California. So it's not that bad.
Appreciate the call. 277-9600. We'll get these through and then get ready for the 4 o'clock safe word. Ahoy, who's this?
Hot damn. This is Javier.
Hey, Javier.
Hey, how are you guys doing, man?
Good.
I drove from Miami to Buffalo and back. And it stopped in like 5 cities on the way. That was actually right now on the Christmas break.
All right, so but you took your time and took a few days to do it, though, right?
Oh, yeah, 2 weeks.
I'm talking now. Think about this, though. You go from Miami to Buffalo. We were asking for our question of the week. You only the driver, farthest distance you've traveled without stopping.
Yeah. Oh, without stopping?
Yeah.
Okay, Lancaster, Pennsylvania to Miami.
Without hesitation, Javier told
without
us that.
Without hesitation.
Lancaster, Pennsylvania to Miami.
Yep.
Oh, that's a hell ride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. Just stop for gas like maybe 4 times along the way, Virginia, yep. South Carolina, and somewhere around Orlando. Yeah,
somewhere around Orlando. I don't know what the hell. Did you stop it south of the border for fireworks?
You got it.
Oh, you know what? I was actually around there now when I went in December. I've never stopped at south of the border, and I've done you know, drives from Miami to Wisconsin as well without stopping one way on the way up there. I've never stopped there. Never stopped at south of the border. I've seen it.
But I want you to think about it. How many billboards have you seen for south of the border?
A lot. Yeah, a lot.
I'm telling you, whether you're going north or you're coming south on 95, you see south of the border 500 miles out.
You would think south of the border is the central point of everything in the United States. If you're from another country and you're driving, well, that must be where everything is.
You gotta go. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, ahoy, guys. This is Steve. How are you?
Hey, Steve.
Yeah, I'm calling about your question of the week also. I think a couple of these guys may have driven longer than me. And I think I may have told you this before, but my longest drive was once I drove from Quebec City down to here without stopping.
Oh, my goodness.
That was a very long drive. I think the guy that drove out from Sacramento has me beat. But,
now, let me ask you something very quickly, and I only got like a minute. Sure. Did you live in Quebec City, or did you go up there for vacation, or what?
My girlfriend and I had gone up to upstate New York for some business we had to, you know, take care of, yeah. And then we just kind of went up into Canada camping. We were driving around. We had a tent. We were driving around in her Honda Civic. And we had been camping around and stuff. We were in Quebec City one evening, and we kind of, you know, we were eating and drinking and hanging out. And about 1 in the morning, I said, I'm not looking for a place to pitch a tent. We're going home.
Now, did you like Quebec City?
I did. Yeah, I did. I enjoyed it. It was interesting. It was like being in Europe without leaving the
That's
continent.
What I was told, and I was talking to my wife that one of the trips I'd like to take one time is in the summer is to go to Quebec City. And everybody that I talk to, and when you're in the old city over there, it's yeah. absolutely gorgeous, and you'd swear to God you're in Europe.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where we were. We were in the old part of town, and it felt like we were in France or something.
Yeah,
really. You
it was
told
pretty cool.
You told me you wanted to go there because of the world class gentlemen's clubs.
No, that's Toronto.
Oh, okay.
Toronto. Let's check that. Check that. Toronto. Keep your radio on. 4 o'clock safe word in just seconds. We'll get you updated. Your first look at traffic. We'll check in with Matt Mangus, who's at South Street. He's broadcasting live today. For happy hour, we'll take care of news headlines, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. Later on, Broadway Joe and his conference championship picks. This is the Stan and Haney Show.
We wrote the book on funny, but unfortunately, it's long out of print. Yeah. Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
I think you can still find it online. Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney still have, just under 2 minutes to get the 4 o'clock safe word in. Happy, H-A-P-P-Y. Better do it fast. Enter the safe word at 96krock.com on the K-Rock app or text the safe word to 45911. It's happy, and you got just maybe a minute to do it. If not, you're going to have to wait for Rob's show at 6 o'clock. And he will have a new safe word for you and a chance at the thou. We're going to check in with Matt Mangus in just a second. But first, let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon. Our first look this afternoon at traffic. All right. A couple of things on the board. First, a disabled vehicle, Fort Myers, Daniels Parkway, and Metro Parkway. And then in Bonita Springs, we got a crash, South Tamiami Trail, and Timber Wild Drive. And you are up to date. We'll have another traffic update for you in about, 25, 30 minutes. Hanging out at South Street for happy hour as he does every Friday there at Goodlett Frank Road and Pine Ridge Road is our own Matt Mangus. Matt, how are you, buddy?
Everything's good here. Filling up very, very nicely here at South Street. We're in the Goodlett Corner Shopping Center in
Naples.
You
got a little wind on the mic.
Yeah, you got wind, man.
Yeah.
It's windy.
Well, I'm standing behind a post, and I have my mic condom on, so I'm doing whatever I can, guys, but it's hard to get out of the wind today.
Yeah, it's going to be windy today and tomorrow as well.
Should be a little windy for bacon jam, but we can handle that. We'll be rocking and eating bacon.
Well,
but,
the smell of it will waft all over the
yeah,
city
can you
of Fort Myers.
It'll be all over there.
Yeah, the whole city will smell like bacon. It's going to be fantastic.
Oh, wonderful.
But we got a great weekend ahead, boys.
Yeah, but what are you doing down there now?
Well, at 5 o'clock, the fabulous Matt Walden will be performing live, and then a little bit later on, DJ Unique, and they got a big weekend here. Peter Sears on Saturday, along with Cross Street Station, and then on Sunday they do their reggae thing, In a Sense. And then we'll be we're about a week away from making another South Street concert announcement that we're very, very excited about.
Is it the one I think it is?
Yeah, the you guys were instrumental in kind of making the bridge happen. So we'll probably make that announcement at the next Happy
Hour. And you know what? I've got so much admiration for South Street. The support that they give to local music is invaluable.
Not only local music, you know, they bring artists in from all over the world.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I guess I should say live music.
Live music and all different genres of music, you know, not only rock and roll, but you can see country, you can see all kinds of indie performers here. And like I said, we even have a DJ here later on tonight. Matt Walden at 5 o'clock today. We've got Absolute Drink specials. We got K-Rock prizes for you. Come on down. We'd love to see you South Street in Naples. It's the 96 K-Rock Happy Hour.
All right, buddy. We'll check in with you in just a little bit.
You got it.
All right, there he goes. Matt Mangus down at South Street. Yeah. Yeah. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it'll be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchor man, Mark Haney. What can you expect in that newscast? Well, Haney's about to tell you because he's got today's headlines. Rudy-toot-toot.
Oh, thank you. Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
Okay.
Well, another new survey is out.
Yeah.
And it determines how many people believe they've met their soul mate.
I think it's going to be smaller than you think. Well, it depends. They think they met their soulmate, let it go for a while, and then they'll realize they didn't.
Yeah, I was told that I met mine until they found somebody they liked better.
Yes! Yep.
Yep. Well, well, well.
Looky here.
It's 2020. Looky here. Hot damn.
Yeah.
We are well into January now. And see, I would think that most people have disposed of their Christmas trees
now. Oh, no.
We'll tell you what the latest reason is for not taking your Christmas tree down.
I have a buddy that I went to college with. He lives now in Washington, D.C., and every year it's a hobby for him on Facebook and Instagram to post Christmas trees being disposed of. And sometimes, you know, it's June. Mm-hmm. It found another.
San Francisco.
Open your golden gate.
I have no desire to go there. I just picture a sidewalk with excrement and used needles.
Yeah, and I always wanted to go to Alcatraz. Go take a tour of that place. I don't want to go to San Francisco now. Dangerous.
Well, they do think a lot of themselves there, though.
They sure do.
A restaurant in San Francisco will charge you a fee if you are in their establishment for more than 90 minutes. And finally, Dateline Winter Haven, Florida.
Sure.
A thief wearing hover shoes got away with shoplifting at the Walmart. Okay. These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter. You can't go a day without laughter. It's so important. We try to give you a little bit right now with the 4 o'clock fluffer. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Hi.
What you cooking?
Chicken!
Ah! Hot damn! You may or may not know this, but a pretty big birthday today.
Oh, yeah?
Mr. Benjamin Franklin.
Ah.
With that in mind, very interesting man.
Oh, yeah.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
things you'd be surprised to know about Benjamin Franklin.
Top things you'd be surprised to know about Benjamin Franklin.
He spent most of his life in Philadelphia, which tells me he wasn't that smart.
Yeah.
He's known for putting the bi in bifocals. If Benjamin Franklin were in charge of the mail, he was at one point.
Yeah.
He'd put a stop to those Bed Bath & Beyond coupons.
Oh, I have to disagree. I use them.
Yeah. Okay.
Here's a little tip for
what?
You. Here's a little tip for you shoppers out there. You'll get those Bed Bath & Beyond coupons and they'll have an expiration date on it. Ignore it. You bring a stack of those in, doesn't matter what the date is on it, they'll take the 20% off.
Quoted.
When he started Philadelphia's first fire department, he was so forward-thinking, he knew the day would come that firefighters would remove their shirts and pose for steamy calendars.
Yeah, he knew it.
He invented many wonderful things.
Uh-huh.
He invented bifocals, yeah. The wood stove, but also annoying things like backing into parking spaces.
I didn't know he invented that.
As a small child, Benjamin Franklin wrote a short story that would later become the basis of the classic film Snakes on a Plane. He's known for many quotable phrases, including "Nobody out pizzas the hut."
You guys are doing good.
Oh, thank you. You got any soup?
Come down later for moose soup.
Thank you. I'll be there.
As a champion and the founder of America's first library, He might be a bit disappointed to learn that they're now mostly filled with homeless people looking at porn.
Oh.
He briefly experimented with being a vegetarian, but still was nowhere near as annoying as the gluten-free Alexander Hamilton.
Oh, that guy. What a pain in the ass.
And finally, the very top thing you'd be surprised to know about Benjamin Franklin.
Yes.
He had no formal education.
Really?
The lesson here, kids, if you want to change the world and make a real impact, quit school.
What? Hey!
And that, my friend, is the 4 o'clock.
What'd you say, Billy?
Sucks harder than ever.
Sure does. Yep. It sure does.
That's advice Billy could use.
Yeah.
quit. You want Billy to quit school?
I don't see it doing him any good.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Billy. Let's take a look at email. Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Okay, okay.
Just a couple of things here. William writes, I don't care about, he wanted to answer the question a week like everybody under the sun wants to answer. Because we're proud
Boy,
of that, ourselves.
That genie will not go back
no,
in the bottle.
Because people are proud of themselves when they do it. They know they don't ever want to do it again.
No.
But they did it. It's like, it's everything. My old saying used to be, better to have been than to
be. Oh, you know, there are so many.
It's great to talk about what you did, but you don't want to be doing it.
Yeah, there are so many things that I've done that I don't want to ever do it again.
And coming up next week, Haney and I will go down a list of things. It'll be a week's worth of shows.
You know, I know our audience would find it hard to believe, but there was a time in my life where I was a bit of a jerk. I know it sounds crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy talk.
But Stan saw it.
Oh, I know. If a real jerk.
Yeah, I was the cock of the walk.
Yep. Yeah. Again.
I was the Duke, A number one.
Yep. So you thought everybody else thought you were a jerk.
Yeah, but I didn't know. I thought I was great.
William writes.
I didn't know people thought I was a jerk.
Well, they did.
I thought everybody
and
just thought I was.
First impressions are the most important. So even though you've proven them wrong, you're not a jerk. Well, most times, there's a lot of people that still know you. That first impression of you being a jerk, you're still a jerk to them. You're not anymore. They still think they'll talk behind your back. That jerk.
And to clarify, at that time, I may have acted like a jerk. Yeah. I wasn't a jerk.
Took me a while to figure that out. Sorry. So, look, can I read some emails?
But you've always been great.
Yeah, I think so. I think I have been.
Yeah. No flaws there I've ever known of.
Thank you, buddy. William writes, guys, I went from Aberdeen, South Dakota to Hershey, Pennsylvania in 36 hours.
Did you take the Hershey Highway?
What a jerk. But here's the thing. He did it in one of my dream cars. This is, if I could get a restored one at a decent price, 1977 Oldsmobile Cutlass. 354 barrel. He turned that air filter upside down.
Yeah.
Air cover, and flew.
There you go.
Oh, and he
Love
points
that
out
sound.
The car when he drove it had no reverse. There's the car. If I could get my hands on a car like that, that's my dream.
No, that's not for us.
What? That's a nice Oldsmobile Cutlass.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
But that is a car that will only respect you if you spend all of your time working on it.
Yeah, I know. You're right. Ladies and gentlemen, the Guardian.
Jesus.
Ahoy, gentlemen. Stan, what's up with the Smarter Than Haney? I realize you're attempting to make the game a little easier and move a little faster, but damn, those questions from the last game must have been from the fifth grade pile. Let me say something to you, Guardian, in all of your goodness, and I appreciate it. You're the one that got me those questions. That's your purchase. And I like them. Sure, your intent was to make it a little easier for everybody, but damn, what was Madison's wife's name? Unless you've been living under a rock, you know that answer. Yeah, but they had them all sounding similar, so it could confuse you. You got it right. Oh, and by the way, I'm pretty sure the caller that won the game had somebody feeding her the answers. I don't know. know. I don't think so. She was pretty good.
She was pretty. I know what he's talking about because I did hear that.
That's why.
Once.
And I asked her. Oh no, I'm here. And while I'm bitching, folks, stop cheating by having the list when you're playing a game.
No, I disagree with you there, Guardian.
Are you because, that hard up to win a prize?
Because when that happened, the guy admitted he had the list.
Oh, he adds to that. But he's just telling him, don't play the game if you got the list. By the way, I love the way you guys handled the guy with the list. You guys are the best. Signed, The Guardian. When we come back...
Honesty is so important.
It is. To us. To us, it's probably a number one. When we
come... Don't lie to me.
No, ever. When we come back, we'll get you updated on traffic. We'll check in with Matt Mangus down at South Street. And then Broadway Joe is going to call in, and he's going to tell us who's going to go to the Super Bowl. What is it? Super Bowl number what?
Oh, it's simple.
What?
54.
54?
Yeah, because the Super Bowl is whatever age I'm about to turn.
That's right.
And that's also how old the Miami Dolphins are.
Right. Well, this is where it confuses a lot of people. The first Super Bowl was played in January 1967, but it was representing the 1966 mm-hmm. season.
Yep.
We'll be back. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Ladies and gentlemen, to continue, please warmly welcome with us
Stan and Haney Afternoons, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney, Friday edition of the Stan and Haney Show. We're going to get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon. Then we'll check in with Matt Mangus, who's at South Street for a live broadcast, happy hour. And then Broadway Joe and his conference championship picks. Who's going to go to the Super Bowl? Let's get you updated on traffic first. Just looking at one thing on the board, and it is in Bonita Springs, a disabled vehicle. Bonita Beach Road, Southeast, and South Tamiami Trail. And you are up to date. We'll have another traffic update for you in just a little bit. But right now, we head down South Naples Way to Goodlett Frank Road and Pine Ridge Road in Naples, where Matt Mangus joins us from South Street and Happy Hour. How's the wind down there, Matt?
A little windy, but we're doing fine because, you know, we can just go right inside and catch the great music. We're here at South Street. We've got a great crowd already. Every age represented here. We've got everybody from grandma down to little babies running around this place
today. Did say hi to mama for both Haney and I.
I most certainly will. Hi, mama. Stan and Haney, say hi.
Mama. I hear.
So we've got a fabulous crowd out here. It's an absolute happy hour. Matt Walden playing. He's a very, very talented singer-songwriter who always brings a lot of people over to our happy hour. So we're happy to have him. And then a little bit later on tonight, DJ Unique will be playing. They do reggae here every Sunday, as we were talking about in the last break. Every kind of music you can imagine here at South Street. They're very good to the local musicians.
Yeah, they
are. And we bring musicians in from all over the country. And it's a great place to come and kick off your weekend. We'd love to see you down here.
And you got K-Rock stuff to give them and anything like that? What if somebody came in like Mama? Did Mama come in and say, I want a prize, Matt Mangus?
If Mama wants a prize, Mama will get a prize. We've got T-shirts, we've got our koozies, we've got keychains. We've got all the usual stuff that we bring to all of our live events, and we'll do the same thing tomorrow at Bacon Jam. We'll have a whole bunch of T-shirts for everybody that comes down tomorrow. We'll be tossing them off the stage, and I know you're going to be there tomorrow, Stan.
Oh, yeah, I'll be there and hanging out and eating bacon.
If you want, and you get there early enough, I could arrange for you to be a judge, and you can eat all the bacon you want.
Are they doing judging over there?
Yeah. You bet. Out of the 20 restaurants and food trucks, there'll be a competition as to who comes up with the most unique dish, the most tasty dish. There's a bunch of different categories, and you, as judge, would be required to taste everything.
All right. That sounds like a good idea.
All right, so we'll see if we can hook that up for you.
All right.
And come on down and join us at South Street in Naples.
All right, we'll check in with you in just a little bit, buddy.
You betcha.
See you. There he goes. Matt Mangus down at South Street. And somebody is on hold right now.
And now, here's the youngster who did it when they said it couldn't be done. The superstar of the Super Bowl, ladies and gentlemen, here is Joe Namath.
Broadway Joe!
Hey!
How are you, buddy?
Outstanding.
You know, I'm just thinking about this as we come to the conference championships. What a long season it has been, and you've done this for several years with us. But this season, going all the way back to September, you had a good job, a good pick, and probably one of your best years ever.
Well, that's gratifying, and boy, I got to tell you, I enjoyed that national championship game like you wouldn't believe.
Well, you predicted LSU last week, and right on.
And, you know, the thing about championship is you want it to be the best, playing the best. You want to have a worthy opponent. And, boy, was that the case. And I don't think anyone other than LSU could have beaten Clemson that night.
Yeah, it was a good game. Let me ask you real quick. Are you in an automobile? I could have sworn I heard a door open and something beeping. Are you in a car?
Yeah, I'm sitting in my driveway. I just got back from Publix. By the way, I want to thank Haley from Publix who helped me out because I had a bunch of footballs to autograph, you know, in one of those sacks.
Uh-huh.
And I forgot I had it in the trunk, so I had to move that, and she put my groceries in the trunk.
Oh, that's great. So you're going to be somewhere signing footballs? I remember a few years back you went on that road trip with the lucky kid.
Well, it fell through because, that's why I decided to go to Publix on my way home. It was supposed to be a youth football event, and I showed up, and I'm carrying my bag of footballs just about an hour and a half ago, and I get there, and the security guard says, I don't have a Joe Namath on the list. This is for parents and players only.
And they turned you away?
I just got back in my car and left.
So what are you going to do with all the autographed footballs?
I haven't gotten that far ahead yet. I got to make some calls, but
you send me one.
Well, if you're willing to pick up the postage, sure.
Yeah, I'll pick up the postage. You know who sent me a football one time?
You see,
what?
Stan, I have to come to grips that a 20 to 30 something year old security guard may not know who Joe Namath is.
I understand that. Len Dawson sent me a football. You know, he was MVP of Super Bowl IV.
Well, he thought an awful lot of himself.
So if you could send me an autographed football, I could put it right up there with his.
I'd rather you didn't.
All right. Let's pick some football games here. These are the conference championships. Now, back when you played, that would be the AFL championship and the NFL championship. Now they're the conferences of the NFL. This would be their championship games, and many say Broadway the best games, better than the Super Bowl.
Sometimes they are, and that's why I thought the college game was so spectacular, because you really did have two heavyweights going at it. That's not always the case.
But we got two conference championships on Sunday. The first one is going to be 3:05 in the afternoon on CBS. It's the American Conference Championship Tennessee at Kansas City. They make that Jinx guy, the cooler, stay home in Kansas City. And who's Tennessee's quarterback?
Huh? Well, you'd forgive me if I actually didn't know based on the quarterback play.
Tannehill, is that? Didn't he play for the Dolphins?
Well, you know, this is where you separate the knowledgeable fan from the casual fan. Now, the casual fan in Miami is saying, what in the hell? The quarterback we just let go is in the AFC Championship game. They must have screwed up. The knowledgeable fan realizes if you go and look at the box score.
Yeah.
People that watch the game wouldn't have the question, but go back the last 2 weeks where Tennessee has been winning playoff games. And fans have it in their minds that, oh, Ryan Tannehill must be doing great. The fact of the matter is, in the playoffs, a lot of times you judge a quarterback by, did he have a 300-yard game?
Sure.
Ryan Tannehill in the playoffs, and remember, we're talking about a quarterback, not a running back. Ryan Tannehill has yet to throw for 100 yards in a playoff game.
But he's showing himself to be a true field general.
Oh, my God. Well, it's terrible for the league. I remember it took several years to get over Trent Dilfer.
Yes.
Because that's all you heard is, well, if they can win with Trent Dilfer, anybody can play quarterback.
You're hinting to me Tennessee is not going to win on Sunday.
They're going to get their ass handed to them.
Because Kansas City and Mahomes, they're going to throw the football.
Not only are they going to throw the football, but the Kansas City defense isn't going to put up with the nonsense that's been going on. And I don't know what the hell happened to Baltimore.
Yeah, I know. They didn't show up.
That astounded me.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're going with Kansas City for the early AFC championship.
Absolutely. Tennessee... Cinderella story, sorry, it's midnight. Things turn into pumpkins.
Primetime game on Sunday night. You got the Green Bay Packers traveling to San Francisco to take on the 49ers. First of all, this is an old vintage NFL matchup. And San Francisco has played well. They were tested. We were talking early on. They hadn't been tested. They have been. Green Bay coming to town. This is a tough game to pick. Green Bay, San Francisco, Broadway.
Well, I'm split on this game. But it doesn't mean I'm, going to try to get out of calling it. I think San Francisco wins the game.
Really?
But... I'm rooting for Green Bay. I'd rather see Green Bay in the Super Bowl. But, you know, there's an old saying. When you're trying to project into the future, sometimes, most of the time, your best yardstick is past performance. These teams played a couple of weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and I thought Green Bay would win, and San Francisco kicked their asses up and down the field.
Are you going with San Francisco, your head, to go to the Super Bowl?
Yes.
All right. You heard Broadway Joe say it right there. For Super Bowl 54, it'll be the San Francisco 49ers versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Broadway Joe just said it, and do you guarantee it?
Nah.
All right.
But think about it. What does Kansas City and San Francisco have in common?
What's that?
Joe Montana.
That's true. That's true. Number 16 in San Francisco, number 19 in Kansas City. Yeah, that's right.
Now, I wonder if the NFL will force him to go to the game.
Yeah, and who's he going to pick? Maybe they'll have him do some kind of ceremonial thing.
Well, if they're smart, they'll have him toss the coin.
Yep. Hey, you're going to be off for a week after this, and then you're going to come back and tell us who's going to win the Super Bowl.
Well, sounds like a deal.
Are you going anywhere for it? Are they flying you to the Super Bowl?
I don't think I'm allowed to talk about it yet.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, if you can let us know later on. Broadway, we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
I do have a big bag of balls here.
Yeah, you do. Send me one. I'll see you later.
Okay.
All right there, Broadway.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Hey, it's Dave and Chuck the Freak. And now, back to Stan and Haney on 96K Rock. Everything that rocks.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us Friday afternoon. Quitting time for a lot of you guys. You're on the road and getting ready for some of you, a three-day weekend. Andy and I will be here on Monday, on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. But for a lot of you, a three-day weekend, so you're getting done with work. And have a great weekend. Maybe you head over to the Bacon Jam that we're going to be at tomorrow, all day at Centennial Park. We're going to check in with Matt Mangus over at South Street as soon as we take a look at traffic. But I wanted to, when I see something that's really good, I want to pass it along. And I want to see if Rob can also make it available on our Facebook page, because it's on YouTube and you can watch it. I saw it. NFL Films did a mini documentary. I think it's like 22 minutes long, and it's available online on YouTube. Done extremely well about the Dallas Cowboys' first superstar quarterback. And everybody knows Tony Romo, Troy Aikman, Roger Staubach.
You're talking about Clint?
Talking about Don Meredith.
Oh, okay.
Now, Don Meredith played football well before I was aware of football. He was before my time.
Yeah, he was an announcer to me.
He was always a Monday Night Football announcer, an NBC announcer, a Lipton Ice Tea guy. He was one hell of a quarterback. And this NFL Films documentary takes a little biographical look at Don Meredith and what a tough quarterback he was. And he was the first Dallas quarterback that brought them to prominence, playing for championships. Unfortunately, he didn't win the championship. And how he and Tom Landry didn't get along. And just some of the clutch games. He was in the famous Ice Bowl game against Green Bay, had a couple of chances to go to the Super Bowl, didn't get there. But just there's some clips. There he is. There's Dandy Don back in his playing days. And it is extremely good. And about a forgotten quarterback, because so many people associate him with being an announcer. He was good.
We're so lucky that that Ed Sable had the wherewithal of, you know what, we should film this stuff.
Yep, because it is a time capsule, and it is spectacular. We'll have it up on our Facebook site. You need to watch this. It's very good. Let's get you updated on traffic, then we'll check in with Matt Mangus. All right, we'll start in Cape Coral. Got traffic control.
Right there in the garden spot of the world.
Yep, Cape Coral. Southwest Pine Island Road and Burnt Store Road South.
Got known that traffic for control. Gracious living.
Yep, easy living with your Waltzing Waters, your Sea Lion show.
Yep.
Fort Myers, Crash, Iona Road, and McGregor Boulevard, right by the Big Lots. In Estero, Crash, 9100 block of Corkscrew Road, right by Ryder Insurance. And in Bonita, Crash, East Terry Street, and Old 41 Road East. He's hanging out all afternoon at one of the hot spots, and they're very good to us down there at South Street. Matt Mangus there for happy hour. He'll be there till 6 p.m. How are things going, Matt?
Everything's good. Actually, the food is on its way over. They're taking good care of us, as they always do at South Street.
What are you having?
Yeah, what do you got?
I'm going to have a little pizza, but I got the street teamer a nice beef sandwich. And
well, you're known for your love of a beef sandwich.
Yeah, you love a good beef sandwich.
I do like a good beef sandwich. You guys know that.
Yep, the wetter the better. A lot of au jus. Yeah.
You got that right. Yeah.
And so, what's your opinion on Open Face?
Love Open Face. I had an Open Face meatloaf sandwich over the weekend, yes, which was outstanding.
A little gravy and a little, you know. And
I don't care for Open Face. I like a closed sandwich.
Oh, no, I like an Open Face sandwich.
Check this out. It was Texas toast, mashed potatoes on top of that, and a big old hunk of meatloaf with delicious brown gravy.
Oh, I would eat that all.
No, that's great,
delicious.
But you got to close it up.
No, you don't. You get that knife and fork out there, and you scoop that into your mouth.
Stands right. And all the fixins, too.
And all the fixins. That means what? Cornbread? What does it mean, Haney? French fries and coleslaw.
Well, coleslaw.
And if they went to Publix, they got rolls.
Yeah.
Right?
If they remembered.
All right, you're there till 6 o'clock, right?
Yeah, we're here till 6 o'clock. Matt Walden's on stage. He's a terrific performer. You'll love him. It's South Street in the Goodlet Corner Shopping Center, part of a big K-Rock weekend. Come on down and join us.
Yeah, coleslaw, baked beans, and if it's a real celebration,
yeah,
potato salad. And then the roll if somebody remembered
to go to Publix.
Yes, sir. All Bring right. on those fixes.
All right. He's Matt Mangus at South Street for happy hour. We'll check in with you in just a little bit one more time.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. See ya. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District, starts right now.
Direct from our newsroom in color, this is the news with Roger Mudd in Indianapolis.
He's not a fan
David
of Open Face.
In Indianapolis.
I like him.
Don Webster in Saigon. Robert Pierpoint in Washington. Robert Shackney in New York City. And Jim Kincaid in Hewlett, New York.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Friday, January 17th.
Double M, double X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for things you didn't know.
Okay.
Here's one of those situations where hindsight is very valuable. Mattel had the opportunity to have it exclusive that Mattel would be the only company to make Star Wars toys at the beginning.
Ooh.
In the late 70s. Mattel, you have an excellent reputation as a toy company. How would you like to make Star Wars toys? We'll give you the exclusive.
Yeah.
They passed. Mm. They felt that the licensing fee was not reasonable.
Well, do they have what it was?
$750,000.
And it made probably billions.
Yeah. I would take that deal every time.
Yeah. But nobody knew back then. Nobody knew.
So So once they did that, they said, you know what? These licensing fees are ridiculous. We can come up with our own stuff. And they had their designers come up with their own action figures.
Yeah.
Be just as good as the Star Wars.
What was that?
That's when they created He-Man, which, of course, outsold. Well, no, it didn't.
I think not even close. I think it had limited popularity, but nothing even coming close to Star Wars.
Now, I know you know your presidents.
Yes.
But today we're talking about governors.
All right. Huey Long.
Kingfish.
Yes, sir.
Are there any governors with stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Yes. Yeah. Ronald Reagan.
Correct.
Is there more?
Yes.
Reagan, he was a movie star.
And he was governor of California.
That's right.
Now, did California have another governor that was a movie star?
Schwarzenegger!
There you go. Incidentally, both of them were governors of California. No governor from any other state has a star on the Walk of Fame.
Nope. Is Jesse the Body Ventura in the WWE Hall of Fame, though?
He's in my Hall of Fame.
You're darn right he is. We had him on the air when he just had the fleeting thought that he'd like to be governor of Minnesota.
You know what? I could run and I could win.
Yep. So are you going to? I don't know. But I could win. I remember that.
Yeah. They don't like Jesse.
No.
Because Jesse spilled the beans.
He knows too much.
Yep. And when they swore him in as governor, he found out that in every state government, there's a CIA mole.
Yeah, there is.
And he had to go and tell everybody about it. I'm surprised he's still here. But then again, that's why now he lives on a mountain in Mexico.
Yeah, and is a little quiet.
Yep. He has gotten quiet.
Yes, he has.
You know, many times on this program, we've talked about the difference between gingers and regular haired people.
You know, I'm sorry. They're different. They're different. Gingers are different.
They are.
I think they're descendants of leprechauns.
Now, we don't know that for sure.
We don't know that, but they're different. I'm sorry, they're different.
And it's more than the color of their hair.
Yes, it is. Now, we've known a lot of very good redheads. Our producer Tommy was a redhead, but one of the greatest
men I've ever known.
But he himself,
he knew.
Yep.
Oh, he was well aware.
Where we asked him where did he get all his freckles from, and he said his mother threw mud in his face through a screen.
Yep. Oh yeah. But it goes much further than hair color.
They're very temperamental too.
Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of that, these things are, you know, they're anecdotal, but they add up.
Right.
But now that we've learned more about genetics, we've learned that there's a lot more to it. One example, a ginger requires about 20% more anesthesia than people with normal hair.
With the normal hair.
Yes.
Yeah, they 20% more anesthesia.
They've determined that the gene mutation for gingers severely affects the body's pain tolerance.
So can they handle more pain or not? Oh, they can't handle pain. That's why they need more anesthesia.
Yes.
So they're crybabies. I say it out of love.
We had so much fun with Tommy, yep, having him explain life as a ginger.
Yeah, and he admitted it's a different life. Different emotions, different feelings.
I'm going to ask a question.
All right.
And I want you to think about it, and you don't have to answer out loud. But I know, you know, people are driving home from work, doing what have you. You don't have to say it out loud, but think to yourself the answer to this question. Have you met your soulmate?
Be honest. I think more people, without answering that question, I think more people feel in retrospect that they let their soulmate get away. They'll look back at relationships or relationships that didn't work out, and more people would say, I let my soulmate get away than I have found my soulmate.
Huh. I stopped believing in it in 1987. Well, aren't we lucky? There's multiple new surveys about soulmates just came out the same time.
Oh, isn't that amazing?
Now, the first poll asked very generally, do you believe in the concept of soulmates? 56% said yes, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
25% said absolutely not. 19% don't know whether to or wind their watch. Men, believe it or not, were slightly more likely to believe in the concept of a soulmate than a woman is.
I agree.
But it's close, 58% to 55%. The second survey asked people if they have, in fact, met their soulmate yet.
Right.
51% said, oh, yes. 43% delusionally said they're currently in a relationship with them.
Right.
Well, that's how divorce lawyers afford nice houses. 8% said yes, but they're not together at the moment. And 12% haven't met their soulmate, but hope to someday because the clock's ticking.
Tick-tock.
And again, believe it or not, men were slightly more likely to say they are with their soulmate. 46% of them compared to 40% of their wives. Mm.
Something doesn't add up there. Doesn't fit.
No, not sound. In a moment.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
Hi, I'm Jason. You're in love and want to purchase a diamond. You have so many choices. You may be thinking, do I wait till I'm back in New York? Do I jump online and search the internet? Maybe I'll cruise over to the islands. Before buying a diamond, you owe it to yourself to give Todd and me an opportunity at the Diamond District.
Jason and I have the largest selection of GIA certified diamonds in Southwest Florida. All are priced at or below the most competitive places in the world. We've partnered with De Beers in Canada and Africa. We've traveled to Israel, Antwerp, and India to select our diamonds. We want to offer you the best possible diamond buying experience.
Come see why more people choose the Diamond District than any other jeweler in Southwest Florida.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
And now, back to Haney's News
on the Stan and Haney Show.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, When you go to a nice restaurant, sometimes, you know, you stretch out dinner, you know.
Yeah.
If you start with drinks and you end with dessert and coffee, you can be there a while.
Yeah, you start socializing with the guests and go for that second bottle of wine. And
yeah.
Sure.
And you have a nice night.
Yep.
Well, one restaurant is putting a stop to that. The Laurel Court Restaurant and Bar at the Fairmont Hotel in San Francisco has a new policy. They welcome you to their establishment.
That's nice.
For no longer than 90 minutes. If you insist on remaining at your table over 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, they're not giving you free dinner. You're paying your tab and all of that.
Right.
But if you're at a table for more than 90 minutes, you're welcome to stay.
That's nice.
However, there will be a charge of $30 per seat for you to remain more than 90 minutes.
Table of four, what is that, my math, $120 extra?
I think, you are a human calculator.
I think I'm about right
you should go on tour.
Yep. When I was at Mr. Steak, back when I was in Connecticut and working as a steak chef.
You're talking about the place that changed your life and destroyed your hockey career.
Yeah, when I stepped in the deep fryer.
Yeah.
They had it down to a science on what the average time was that a table should be occupied. And again, I'm going back 40 years. But there was a pattern that they would go for guests if they were staying too long. To drop the check off earlier.
You would give them hints to leave.
Hints to leave because to turn a table and bring in more people, because this place used to have the waiting line out the door. There were tactics that the servers could use to push them along. That you've just about used up your welcome.
Uh-huh. So, enjoy your meal. But at the end of 90 minutes, you better leave or it's going to cost you.
Because the meter's running.
They want to turn the tables over as quickly as possible. To give you an idea of what we're dealing with, this is a place that charges $16 for a starter salad.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's the kind of place where people naturally want to take their time.
Yep. And they should be able to.
The manager of the restaurant says, quote, otherwise they linger and tie up the tables, turning the restaurant into a big meeting room. And the servers and our other customers suffer. It's all about supply and demand.
Well, yeah.
And that's the state of the hospitality business in hot damn 2020.
You and I, you remember, Haney, we used to go down to Peter's La Cuisine when that was open up top downtown Fort Myers. We used to stay there till they turned the house lights on.
Oh.
Remember those days?
And then some.
Yep, we'd stay there afterwards.
I'm surprised you and E.C. Scott didn't end up married.
What a beautiful
she
woman.
She loved you.
She was something special.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, that is my
did
favorite
she have
time.
A voice?
My favorite time to be at a bar is after closing time, after they've kicked everybody else out. That's when you have fun.
Yeah, it was.
And you know what? That's when the real stories get told.
Yep.
Did I say Bill?
Yep.
A man went to the Walmart in Winter Haven, Florida, earlier this month while wearing hover shoes. If you're like me and don't know what that is, hover shoes are basically like powered roller skates. You have one on each foot, and they will propel you around. You can get a pair for around $200. Well, the gentleman hover skated around Walmart as he filled his cart with stuff like paint, a trash can, a car battery, a bouquet of flowers, a Roku TV.
Nice.
And a motorized hoverboard. Evidently, he really likes this stuff. And then he hover skated right out of the store with his cart without paying.
I'm looking at the footage, and he did just that. You just see him just sliding right out the door.
Now, once he was outside, his commitment to the transportation of the future ended as he loaded all of the items into his late 90s Nissan Maxima and drove off. They didn't catch him.
They got a good picture of him. Somebody knows him.
And that's the news for today, Friday, January 17th.
Double M, double X.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Mucky Haney, telling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news this afternoon. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. We'll also check in one more time with Matt Magus down at South Street.
Two men, two microphones, and way too much baggage. Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for spending this week with us. It is greatly appreciated.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Haney. It's talking to the audience.
Oh.
6 o'clock.
Well, them too.
Yeah. Rob Show will take over. He'll have the 6 o'clock safe word. Could get you a thou. Let's do one more look at traffic, and then we'll check in one more time with Matt Magus, who's hanging out at Happy Hour at South Street down in Naples. All right, let me analyze this real quick and see what we got. Okay. Three things on the board. Four things on the board. We'll start in Fort Myers. Got a crash. South Point Boulevard and Cypress Lake Drive. In Lehigh Acres, two on the board. Crash. Lee Boulevard at Bella Court, and the other one in Lehigh Acres is Maple Drive North and Leland Heights Boulevard East. And one more for you. It's in Bonita. Hit and Run. 11,000 block of Bonita Beach Road right by the CVS. And you are up to date. He's been there all afternoon hanging out, having a good time, eating wet open-faced sandwiches and having live music. It's Matt Magus down at South Street.
How you doing, guys?
They're doing good. The weekend is staring us right in the face, and that's a good feeling.
It sure is. We had to actually move inside. It's so windy outside, so you can hear the soothing sounds of Matt Walden performing in the background. DJ Unique will be performing here a little bit later. Of course, they got their big Reggae Sunday. We're at South Street in the Good the Corner Shopping Center. I'm staring into the eyes of a lovely young lady eating pizza and having a wonderful time.
What's her name?
I'd rather not share that with you at this time.
Well, that's fine, but, there's professional time and there's private time.
Right, not at South Street. Not at South Street. Nope. Now, it's where business and pleasure meet every Friday.
Did you give Mama a little something?
Mama's sitting to my right here. Yes. The baby is eating finger food, and Mama is taking good care of baby here today. The whole family's out here. We've got a great crowd. We love South Street, and there's still plenty of time for you to come out here and kick off your weekend with us.
You know, there's something about a lactating woman.
No question about it. I'm with you, Haney. Bacon jam tomorrow, everybody.
All right, we'll see you there.
You betcha.
All right, buddy. We knew a guy that felt that way.
Oh, my God.
I'm not joking.
We knew a guy who got a woman pregnant, broke up with her, and then started dating a woman who was pregnant with another man's baby.
Yeah, because he liked the lactating. Seriously, it turned him on. I'm not joking. Let's laugh.
Boy, it's hard to go through life and just constantly be going, is it me?
Time now for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy the way it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
My other hero growing up was Neil Armstrong, and not just because he won all those bicycle races. Because he was the first guy to walk on the moon. And America sent three men into space. They sent Buzz Aldrin. They sent Neil Armstrong. And no one ever knows the third guy. His name's Michael Collins. And that's horrible because Neil Armstrong might be like one of the most famous men of the 20th century. Michael Collins, he isn't even the most famous Michael Collins. There's a movie called Michael Collins starring Liam Neeson. It's about a different guy. Exactly 35 years later, I met Neil Armstrong in an elevator in New York. I walked in. This is totally true. And he's right there. And I was like, Mr. Armstrong? He's like, yeah. I said, can I have your autograph? And he said, I don't do that. And I said, Mr. Armstrong, could I have a picture with you? And he said, I don't do that. I said, Mr. Armstrong, could I shake your hand? And I'll never forget this. He just looked at me. He went, kid, go away. And because I was 15 and I only knew from sarcasm, I looked at Neil Armstrong and I said, this is the worst make-a-wish I could have possibly asked for. And then, thinking this would genuinely sting, I went, my favorite should have been Michael Collins. And Neil Armstrong took a step away from me, and it was a small step for Neil Armstrong.
Have yourselves a great weekend. Lord willing, we're back here on Monday, 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock, and we leave you this afternoon with this. Somebody is on hold right now.
And now, here's the youngster who did it when they said it couldn't be done. The superstar of the Super Bowl, ladies and gentlemen, here is Joe Namath.
Broadway Joe!
Hey!
How are you, buddy?
Outstanding.
You know, I'm just thinking about this as we come to the conference championships. What a long season it has been, and you've done this for several years with us. But this season, going all the way back to September, you had a good job, a good pick, and probably one of your best years ever.
Well, that's gratifying, and boy, I got to tell you, I enjoyed that national championship game like you wouldn't believe.
Well, you predicted LSU last week, and right on.
And, you know, the thing about championship is you want it to be the best, playing the best. You want to have a worthy opponent. And boy, was that the case. And I don't think anyone other than LSU could have beaten Clemson that night.
Yeah, it was a good game. Let me ask you real quick. Are you in an automobile? I could have sworn I heard a door open and something beeping. Are you in a car?
Yeah, I'm sitting in my driveway. I just got back from Publix. By the way, I want to thank Haley from Publix who helped me out because I had a bunch of footballs to autograph, you know, in one of those sacks.
Uh-huh.
And I forgot I had it in the trunk, so I had to move that, and she put my groceries in the trunk.
Oh, that's great. So you're going to be somewhere signing footballs? I remember a few years back you went on that road trip with the lucky kid.
Well, it fell through because, that's why I decided to go to Publix on my way home. It was supposed to be a youth football event, and I showed up, and I'm
carrying my bag of footballs just about an hour and a half ago, and I get there, and the security guard says, I don't have a Joe Namath on the list. This is for parents and players only.
And they turned you away?
I just got back in my car and left.
So what are you going to do with all the autographed footballs?
I haven't gotten that far ahead yet. I got to make some calls, but...
You send me one?
Well, if you're willing to pick up the postage, sure.
Yeah, I'll pick up the postage. You know who sent me a football one time?
What? Stan, I have to come to grips that a 20 to 30 something year old security guard not know who Joe Namath is.
I understand that. Len Dawson sent me a football. You know, he was MVP of Super Bowl IV.
Well, he thought an awful lot of himself.
So if you could send me an autographed football, I could put it right up there with his.
I'd rather you didn't.
All right. Let's pick some football games here. These are the conference championships. Now, back when you played, that would be the AFL championship and the NFL championship. Now they're the conferences of the NFL. This would be their championship games. And many say Broadway the best games, better than the Super Bowl.
Sometimes they are, and that's why I thought that the college game was so spectacular, because you really did have two heavyweights going at it. That's not always the case.
But we got two conference championships on Sunday. The first one is going to be 3:05 in the afternoon on CBS. It's the American Conference Championship. Tennessee at Kansas City. Who's Tennessee's quarterback?
Well, you'd forgive me if I actually didn't know based on the quarterback play.
So you're going with Kansas City for the early AFC championship?
Absolutely. Tennessee, Cinderella story, sorry, it's midnight. Things turn into pumpkins.
Primetime game on Sunday night. You got the Green Bay Packers traveling to San Francisco to take on the 49ers. Are you going with San Francisco, your head, to go to the Super Bowl?
Yes.
All right. You heard Broadway Joe say it right there. For Super Bowl 54, it'll be the San Francisco 49ers versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Broadway Joe just said it, and do you guarantee it?
Nah.
All right.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day is a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.